that is Guys, Games, and Beer Interviews, and I'm here today with
Kevin Watson,
and he's with
Dartnog Adventures.
And what are we talking about today?
Indie publishing.
Indie publishing. And we're going to talk the joys of indie publishing and the pain and suffering of indie publishing.
Get so, the good with the bad.
Let's talk a little bit about game mechanics. Number one, how'd you start out?
I wrote my own stuff for 40 years, but for the table, not for publication. And the licenses lined up right, and the system lined up right, and I was ready to move to commercial publication.
So you started out like in high school or something, right?
Actually, middle school.
Middle school.
I was 10 years old when I played the first time, and I was 11 in like 4 months when I DM'd for the first time. I never went back.
Holy crap. That's insane. So when was your first published game then?
It was last year. It was
the Lost
of the Forgotten. And I didn't publish at all during those amateur era years, but last spring I published The Lost Temple of Forgotten Evil.
So you started out and you just had like friends play your games?
Yeah.
Is that how it went? All right. I did a couple games when I was in junior high school, and they were pretty unwieldy to do. There was actually a lot of scratching out of things and putting things back in. Because you actually had to draw out your location. We had not thought of the idea of having markers or anything to place things. So, yeah, you'd measure things out. What do you think is the most difficult part of game mechanics as far as making games playable?
Finding a balance between the players that want to min-max their characters and those who want to be more average or more normal and grow into heroes. Making sure you can accommodate all those play styles and not have a combat that's going to wipe out the normal players and barely challenge the min-maxers. That's the hardest thing.
So you think it's kind of hard to find like those beginner players? Is that a target audience for you at all?
I'm aiming for players that are tired of combat, skill challenge combat style adventures. Mine are non-linear. They're not combat focused. You can go any way you want with them. You can bring Murder Hobo Incorporated and you have fun. You can bring a bunch of role players that want to talk through it for 6 weeks and they'll have a blast. Trying to hit that whole audience because everything published is combat, skill challenge combat, next session. And that's just not for everybody.
So you think video games have had an influence on board games now?
I think they're all influencing each other.
Yeah, I think
so. Let's get to the point. I mean, initially it was, you know, Gary stuff influenced video games like Zork stuff in the 80s.
Yep.
And it, at a point in time, they all began just influencing each other, like a big circle of, like a collection of artists who together grow into better artists, even though they never copy styles. They have their own style, but they bounce off each other all the time and get better. I think the same thing's happening. Videos, card games, board games, role-playing games, LARP, they've all just started bouncing each other around with greater ideas. That's my opinion.
So you like the LARPers?
I'm not a big LARP person, but I enjoy the things they've contributed to the whole gaming industry.
I started out, I was almost firmly anti-LARP, and then we ran into some LARPers, and I found out that they were like pretty darn excellent.
And then you watched Knights of Badassdom, and you're like, oh, LARP's cool.
we were at, I think it was Midwinter, which is another convention.
Yeah.
And they were beating the hell out of each other. It was freaking hilarious. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. This isn't like a wussy thing. So have you thought about that idea, like kind of a crossover between the LARPing and...
If I can find the interest and the right partner to help me convert it, I'm open to any market that's out there.
Okay, so...
Because I'm not locked into any specific style.
I think I'm okay with that. I never lock myself into anything. Barely lock myself into this podcast. So let's talk about the games you're showing off today. What are you showing off today?
The first three parts of this five-part series I'm working on are all out in the wild. The fourth one's kickstarting right now. The first four were The Lost Temple of Forgotten Evil. The second one was The Buried Ziggurat. The third one was City of Talos. And then the fourth one that's running now is Confronting Haster, where the party is sent back to destroy a new statue of Haster before he can pull himself into the world and turn it all into a world of insanity.
So what does a round look like? Number one, how long does it last?
If you run six-hour sessions, they're about three and a half session games. You run shorter sessions, between 18 and 22 hours of play.
Okay, so that's an all-day game.
Or several weeks, whatever works for you.
So it's extended.
Yeah. So like, how many people would want to be in the? How many people would want to be in the group to?
You're
going to
have like five or six typically.
Five or six.
I write for five, and I make notes for converting down to three and up to seven.
Okay. But, and then obviously somebody to run the game too.
Yeah, and then of course a game master.
And then
DM, whatever you're going to call them.
And with the way you have it going, it's a continuous storyline, so you'd want to start with the first book.
You don't have to.
You can.
I wrote an entry ramp for new players into every single one.
That's right.
It'll make very little sense in part five because the way part five is structured, but there'll be an entry ramp into part five if you're going to start just with five and go.
Okay.
I'm not going to lock you into a series if you don't want to play the whole series. If you want to skip one, skip it. It's not going to hurt my feelings. I want you to have fun.
Yeah.
I don't want to write these railroady adventures where you have to go from A to D to B to C to D to finally get to Z and have fun and kill a dragon. If you want to skip to Z, go for it.
So what's the rough storyline?
You've got,
now, I know you get to fill in your own.
Yeah.
Right.
It's the generic base storyline, default storyline. Civilization is roughly about 50 years before the equivalent of our Renaissance. They've had their Dark Ages. They've had their Greco-Roman era. Their own decadence crashed their own civilization. Man struggled. Dark Ages that this world experienced is what the Dark Ages we think humans experienced. It was really, really bad. Civilization wouldn't hold for more than one man's lifespan. No real contact, very feral. And then finally, civilization stuck for two generations and then three, and they're getting ready to have a huge, large civilization again. And the reasons that civilization collapsed drove the underground elves to block out the upper world completely. And then they've realized, because of the party's actions in the various adventures, that was a bad stance, and they've cut themselves off too harshly, and they're ready to reemerge and really connect with the world again and be part of the world. And along the way, Haster is trying to install an aspect of himself into the world. You know, with Haster, right? Cthulhu's big brother?
Yeah. I was a big Cthulhu fan in high school. I still keep the books around.
I always try to make sure everyone knows what I'm talking about. And he's trying to get a permanent aspect in the world so he can conquer the elves and leverage their biological nature to have more durable aspects throughout the universe. So he wants the elves badly, and he's thwarted by parties of heroes or would-be heroes who keep Indiana Jonesing his statue and crashing it over and over again.
Awesome. So what is...
So you said you have the first three that are done, and then
Kickstarting right now.
Kickstarting right now.
11 days to go.
Okay, so that's where you can find to help is on Kickstarter, yeah.
Search for Dark Naga or search for Haster, and you're going to find me.
Okay, and then once that's done, you'll probably start working on
five. I've already been playtesting five.
Oh wow. Okay.
And I twisted the plot in a different direction when I play tested and tortured them for 2 weekends.
They're so mad at me. Yeah,
yeah, it does. All right, so a little bit about what's in the box. How are your games packaged? What are they?
They are
the generally
80 get? Style modules with detached covers, black and white interiors, color covers, and then the PDFs are full color. And when you buy the physical product, you always get the PDF with it because I belong to that school of. E-book should come with the heart, the physical book. I don't belong to the camp where they want to charge half price for the e-book. I do sell them as PDFs only. And anything that won't fit in my 32-page budget, I spin off as a PDF supplement. So there's a 20-pack of handouts for part two, 20 separate handouts.
Mm-hmm.
There's a map illustration book, so every piece of art is full page. You can print on demand. Instead of trying to pick up the module, fold it back, and cover up the rest of the text, which always looks stupid and always fails, to show your party an art. You can just hand them a sheet of paper and then pass it around. Instead of trying to read them the text of some lore four times to them, print out the lore and hand it to them. And they can make notes on it, whatever. If you want to blow the maps up, they're high enough DPI, you can blow them out to almost tactical size with no loss of quality. At the 1 inch per square, it gets a little pixely and fuzzy, unfortunately. But
awesome. What's a cost range?
The first part 1, 2, 4, and 5 are all $20 for the print copy.
That's
and half
low.
That for
that's
the PDF.
On the low end. Yeah.
For if you want the full PDF pack, if you want just one edition, because I write for 5th edition, convert it to OSR, and then I convert it to Pathfinder through a third party. So if you just want the Pathfinder, you can go buy it for $7. You want the full edition, it's like $10.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, that's, you know, prices have been going.
But part three is a double adventure, so it's $40, unfortunately. My costs were doubled at every single level. My art's about 15% of the book. So there's a lot of custom art and everything I've done. Every cover so far has been done by Rick Hershey, and I'm hoping he'll do part five's cover. But his schedule's gotten so crazy, he may not be able to do part five. I really hope he can work it out. Rick's a part, he manages all of my digital distribution, so there's a good chance he'll make time in his schedule to do that last cover.
Awesome. So if they want to get one of your games, got a website?
I do. It's going to relaunch in 2 weeks. It's darknaga.com. I had it redone, but the text is all wrong, so I'm going to have to spend the next 2 weeks doing some minor tweaks, and then I'll have an official launch. Okay. Probably Thanksgiving, the official launch.
Black Friday.
With some prizes. Or Cyber Monday. And there'll be some prizes for people who sign up for the forum. They'll get put into a pool, or sign up for the mailing list. They'll get put into a pool, and I'm going to draw 3 prizes and give 3 people prizes for signing up for the mailing list.
So is that where you would buy your game, or is there places that you prefer people to go and find?
Buy the game if you want.
Best place to find it.
A print-on-demand version. You're looking at DriveThruRPG or RPG Now.
Okay.
They manage the PDFs for me. The old school print in excess of what I need to fulfill the Kickstarter, it'll be on the site eventually, but it's not currently in the site because they didn't get the storefront working properly for me. So that'll be probably January. So I've asked people to just contact me through the website, and I'll send them a PayPal invoice, and then they can buy the print products.
Awesome. All right, well, thank you very much for coming
thank
on the show.
Thank you so much. Yeah. It's great to see you guys again.
If you have any other questions about this interview, check the links down below where we will link to all the websites mentioned. Thank you very much for watching Guys, Games, and Beer. On to the next interview.
Wow, we are super excited at Guys, Games, and Beer. I can't believe this is even happening. We are here with the newest member of Wild Stallions.
No way!
Oh my God. And the newest member is Brian. And Brian is bringing excellent music to the world. tell us, Brian, what inspires you for such excellence?
Like, dude, stuff and chicks.
Oh,
dude,
you know, I know that's
chicks,
amazing.
Dude.
Come up with those amazing licks that just fuel the world.
Dude, bro, I mean, like, you know, bro, dude.
No, I see where you're coming from. There's so
totally.
many words, you know. But, the original Wild Stallions, and they are awesome. They weren't sure if they should bring on another excellent guitarist or not. But what do you think convinced them?
His hair.
Dude.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Oh, God. So few words, so much of a message. I got to tell you. Brian, wow. Can you be more excellent?
Dude.
Yeah. Wow. I'm going to assume that's a yes for you and the millions out there. That has got to be a yes.
Dude.
Yeah, right. That is it. So, Tyler, any excellent questions for our guest?
How does one be excellent to each other?
Bro. Awesome, dude.
Awesome, I like it.
So, one of the more controversial things about being excellent is having death on base. How do you feel about that?
Whoa, dude.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's it seems to me that sometimes it might be a little uncomfortable to have the Grim Reaper, you know, tearing up those awesome licks. Don't you ever feel like occasionally he's just gonna like touch you and like, well, you know what happens then, you know. Well, I was thinking you'd have to play best 2 out of 3, but
not cool, dude.
Well, that I gotta tell you, you know what? You know what, Tyler? That was a little bogus. That was a little bogus. It was a bogus journey that you just sent us on. I'm just telling you. But can he give us a few of those awesome licks right now?
Oobla abla chibla, oobla abla chibla, oobla abla chibla, oobla abla chibla.
Oh, those are world saving moves right there. So, dude. All right, that is all we paid for with Guys Games and Beer for this excellent time with the newest member of Wild Stallions.
All right, from interviewee to interviewer. Here at the con, we have the game Fate Crafter. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Yeah, I'm Aaron. I'm the creator of Fate Crafter, Aaron Haltom. And do you want me to start talking about the game? Or? Sure.
Can I give a brief description of what it's about?
Yeah. So it's a tarot, depending how you pronounce it, based role-playing game. It is set in a world called Felicity, which is kind of a steampunk, but there's also ancient artifacts that are powered by magical crystals and alchemical metals and that sort of thing. So I kind of call it crystal punk.
Okay.
It's a crystal punk universe. And in this universe, there's a king that has gone mad with power, wants to be able to control everything, as kings often do.
Yep, that's pretty standard.
And he's created this giant machine called the Orrery.
Oh,
right. That can predict all the motions of the stars and the planets and all the influences upon the world, all the astrological energy that goes into the world. And he can predict what's going to happen in someone's life so specifically. He knows when they're going to be born, what career they're going to go into, whether they're going to be any trouble for him, and when they're going to die. So each person has, like, inside of the orrery, a hourglass that counts down every moment of their life until it runs out and they die. And the Fate Crafters are the people that have the magical superpower that they actually have free will. They can avoid the predictions of the orrery by bending fate.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So basically they're the ones that are going to rise up and pretty much challenge the king in his evil ways.
Yeah.
Okay. So now this come about just out of like a love of tarot cards and like the design of them, or like how did it come about?
Yeah, I've always loved role-playing games and also like the steampunk, crystal punk aesthetic. And my wife loves tarot and she actually is a really good tarot card reader.
Okay.
And she's even written some books on, you know, learning how to read the tarot.
Actually, like, when we were walking, that's what kind of piqued my interest. My wife likes tarot cards cool, things are really cool, like,
mm-hmm.
Doesn't do too much with it, but it's something that's definitely piqued our interest in this. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely awesome.
So, how many players can play this game?
There's no real limit. It's the same as D&D or something like that. You could, a good party size is about 4. You could play with just 2. You could play with up to 10 if you wanted to. There are 6 different significanters, and those are kind of like the classes. So it's good to, if you have a well-rounded party, you could have, you know, one of each of those. You get a 6-person party would be a nice big size party.
Okay. Now, does this need like a DM to run the campaign and the story then as well? Same thing as D&D. Okay, yes, awesome. Yes.
And before you can play this game, do you have to have your own deck of tarot cards?
Yes. It really requires tarot cards for the fate deck and the play deck. So the storyteller, at least, I think, should have a tarot deck so that there is a fate deck. But you could all share the same fate deck, and you could also, for the play decks, you could just use playing cards. So that's kind of the budget option for, you know, if you're just getting into it. Yeah, all the players could use playing cards.
Selling some playing cards as well, just so people could use them.
Yeah, yeah.
I do like the fact that, now do you plan on making your own tarot deck to release with a game?
I do, yeah. I have, you know, the prototype here that I made, and it's got sort of all different cards there. You can see maybe. These are just the pips now, basic sort of symbolism, and it can tell you what each card can do, because the different suits have different powers. So the you play pentacles to do brawl actions, or anything dealing with the physical world, like bartering or animal husbandry, that sort of thing is like a pentacle type thing. And you have to have a card of the right suit to do the right kind of activity that you're trying to attempt. And then the higher the value of the card is, the more powerful action you can do. So my own tarot that I've prototyped up here kind of gives you ideas of what you could do with this card based on its suit and its power level, kind of.
Which is all that would usually be just found in the book then, if you have like your own tarot card to use.
Yeah. Yeah, these are just handier reference, you know, when you're looking at it in your hand, it'll tell you right there.
A lot of people do have their own custom tarot cards that have a lot of cool artwork, which is another appeal for this, so that you can actually use those.
Yeah, definitely. It gives a lot of inspiration, you know. If you wanted to do a more, medieval fantasy kind of vibe to your campaign, you could use a... Oh, sorry. Thank you. You could use a Lord of the Rings tarot deck or something like that. Or
yeah, that was my next question. So now, do you have like a specific story module like written up for this, or are you just literally creating the world and allowing players to create their own?
I have specific stories written, you know, but it's also pretty open ended.
Like
yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
that's cool.
And that's why I chose it to be kind of a steampunk world. Is in general, there's sort of most of the populace has a more medieval level of technology available to them. In the city, the kind of richest people are starting to have that steam-powered, they're more turn of the century railroads and that sort of level of technology. And then, like on the outskirts of civilization, you have the Fae and the barbarian villages and stuff like that. And they live a very like, you know, third world tribal kind of existence.
Okay,
so you could kind of go different ways with it depending on what you know you wanted your campaign to be like.
World, you can have it go either way based upon the different areas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Awesome. Do you have any of this stuff on a website or anything that viewers could take a peek at?
Sure. Yeah, fatecrafter.com. Actually, you know, has everything on there. So I just published this book about 6 months ago. I had previously published the ebook and then revised it with, you know, suggestions from players and playtesting, and added more stuff to it, and just published the book. My sort of next projects to look for is I want to make enough money to pay for the art for my own tarot deck, and then I also want to make a campaign book called Immortal Pirate Tesla. It's going to be about Tesla jumping into this world via a portal and getting into all kinds of like crazy airship shenanigans, and yeah.
That's really cool. So now the plan like to release like new module stories and stuff like that going forward after you get like the tarot cards done and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, awesome. That sounds really cool.
When did this first come out in its first playable version? How long has this been around now?
It was about 3 years ago. Okay. Yeah. So I've been working on it for a long while. Yep.
Definitely a passion project then.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Very good. Well, anything else you want to add?
Nope. That's it. Just have fun at the con, guys.
Yeah.
So this is Aaron with the game Fate Crafter. So check it out. Thank you.
Thanks for coming out.
Thank you.
And welcome to the 2017 G2B Raffle. Who's here to see G2B? Yeah. Who's here to get free crap? Yeah.
Yay. Hey there, everybody. This is Travis with Guys Games and Beer. We are hanging out at GameholeCon 2017, spending our Saturday evening playing games, having a few drinks, and hanging out with our buddies that we like to hang out every year at these cons. So we are hanging out with some of our favorite friends with Pick Up and Go Games. We got Scott and Heather. Heather's off camera dancing with Larry and Mel.
Mark is somewhere.
And I do have to say, I love spending my weekends here, playing a lot of interesting board games, checking out new stuff. Tyler's gyrating me in a very sexual manner. I do have to say, as much as I'm a big board game fan, there was a big case of awesome brought up to the con by Scott. He had to show me this, and I looked at it and I was like, game gotta recognize game. So we have the mystery chest, and I was like, is this ticking? Scott, will you do us the honors of showing us what is in this chest?
I will. Let's see here.
It is a very, very sweet Nintendo collection.
That would be my entire Nintendo collection. 141 games. That's about 21% of the Nintendo library.
So it sounds like you got a little bug that bit you, that got you back into collecting.
A little bit, yeah. I saw a couple of YouTube videos, and I can drop some names like John Riggs and AVGN and Cinemassacre, such like that. And Heather decided to go back to school for college, so I was like, well, crap, I got to find something to do in the man cave in the middle of the night. So,
I mean, that's a given. I mean, we all been there.
Hey, my hobbies aside. So I looked over at Heather, and I said, hey, hon, I think I'm going to try and rebuild my old Nintendo collection. She goes, okay, hon, that sounds like a nice little project. I was like, okay.
You married the right one.
That was in January. I did all this shit since January.
Yeah, so
we're in November, and you have you definitely have a more impressive NES collection than I do by a long way. Yeah, from the peanut gallery.
The question was,
does he have the manuals for everyone?
No, I do not. I probably have the manuals for about 20 games.
But they're Nintendo games. Most of them aren't that hard. And the ones that are, I saw the ones he had, and the manuals are beautiful for the ones he's got.
You can download manuals in like PDF form, and they're all over the
internet
place.
Now, Larry.
So
I know.
They are.
I know.
They are.
And take a look at my box SNES collection. I know it's expensive, and it's
really does. Manuals can get really expensive. I've gotten a couple of these things on eBay, but most of them have been through designated gaming conventions or online. A few of them have been through online sales. But most of them have been through lucky finds at like garage sales and Goodwills and my friend Lonnie wanted to. I told him about my project. He's like, hey, I got a top loader. I got about like 10, 12 games. You want them? I was like, sure. So I bought the whole thing from him for like $70.
Friends are the best.
His top loader.
And again, I looked at this last night, and immediately my eyes were like, oh my god, those are some beautiful games. Right off the top, you got like the TMNT Tournament Fighters for the regular NES, which is a lot rarer than the SNES version.
Oh yeah.
There's some really interesting ones. North versus South. He had some really great. He got the Zelda collection right off the bat, because who doesn't own Zelda?
Power Blade, that's a good one. I think that one up a couple of weeks ago. I got where's Shatter? Shatterhand. I picked that one up a couple of weeks ago, too.
Again, I had seen the ridiculous artwork for Shatterhand. I had never actually played the game. And again, those old late 80s, early 90s Jalico games, they're pretty interesting. They're a little weird.
But the first big set to meet it was the entire Mega Man collection right there.
That is friggin' beautiful.
Yeah, I'm holding like $300 worth of Nintendo games. It's crazy.
Yeah, again, finding NES games at a reasonable price is pretty tough.
It can be pretty amazing, let me tell you.
Yeah, but when you find those good deals of the games you used to have, and again, it looks like you've really you were telling me about some of the games you had from your childhood and things, and like you did a really good job of kind of finding those out.
Oh yeah, I got some great deals. This one was one that I was almost ashamed to buy online, but I don't necessarily like to buy online, but I did because it was just such a good deal. It's Felix the Cat. Now it's a cute little platformer, but it actually really sticks to the quality of the source material, and It goes for about $110 nowadays, and we're in, what, November 2017? I got it for $85 with the manual. So that was a great deal. I just couldn't pass it up.
Yeah, and again, I liked Hudson Soft in the late 80s, early 90s. They were in their heyday. That is really what got me. Their Hudson Soft games were really what got me, like PC Engine gaming, things like that. But their NES games were also pretty good quality for what they put out.
Now, the short story behind my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Tournament Fighters goes like this. The guy at my bar comes in. We started making some conversation, and he says, so what have you been up to? And I said, well, I've been trying to restart my old Nintendo collection. And he goes, oh, I got a few Nintendo games. And normally when somebody says that,
that's a good
sign. Normally when somebody says that, though, that's usually responded with, like, oh, I have a few games, but I have no idea where they're at. This time he said, I don't know what they are, but I know exactly where they are. And I was like, really? He goes, yeah, I had to move some stuff in my attic earlier this week, and I stepped over them, and there they were. So I know exactly where they are. And I was like, what do you got? He's like, I don't know, it was like 13, 14 games. I was like, I keep some money on hand usually. I'll buy them from you. He's like, what would you do? I was like, sight unseen? I don't know, $3 a piece? How about $40 for the lot? He's like, sounds good to me. And I was like, okay, here's my number. And he gambled a bit more at a bar, and then he left. I didn't actually really still think anything of it. I didn't think it was going to happen. Sure enough, 2 hours after I get home from work, he calls me up. He's like, hey, I got the games. Where do you want me to meet you? I was like, dude, I already took my shoes off. I'm done. Come to my house. And
delivered.
Yeah.
He does.
He comes to my house, and he comes to the house. He's like, here's the games. Just got them in a Walmart bag. And as I'm pouring through, Heather's looking at me like this.
Really? Right now? We're buying games right now? Yeah.
Yeah, like.
I know that face.
Yeah, it was like useless shit.
Yeah, no, this is the thing. All right, there's plenty of times we've seen, like, Craigslist deals. I'm like, babe, you don't understand. Like, we have to go right now. We had to leave 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
So, like, that, like, I know that face. I know that face 110%.
So he looks at me, he's like, yeah, it's mostly a bunch of comments, and there's a Turtles game at the bottom with a porn label. And I was like, that's okay. I already got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I'll just use this trade material. He's like, okay. So I handed him $40. We shook hands. We said our byes. And he left. And Heather's like, great. More useless shit. What'd you buy? And I was like, okay, well, you've got Marble Madness. Oh, look, another Mario Duck Hunt. I can start making that coffee table now.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, I don't have this one. I don't have this one. I don't have this one. Oh, okay. I've got this one. I had like 4 or 5 out of the 15. So they were just doubles for me. Mm-hmm. And she goes, yeah, and what's that one at? And I said, yeah, it's got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Tournament Fighters. And she's like, Tournament Fighters? That sounds like a fighting game. They don't make any fighting games for the Nintendo. And I was like, they made a few, and I'm holding one.
That's awesome.
I said, hon, this is like a $180 game.
Yeah.
And she goes, holy crap, we're going to go to Midwest Gaming Classic next week. What are you going to do with that? I was like, I don't know. And that kind of annoys me. Because I could sell this and get a crap load for it. I'm going to have to think about this.
Or you could just go buy more games.
Or I could just go buy more games.
Yeah.
And add to the collection.
And surprisingly, what happened.
So about a day later, she goes, have you decided? I was like, yes, I have, and I'm probably going to keep it. And she's like, are you sure, hon? You really could get a lot for that. And I said, I could, but it's a rare find, super rare find, and it's a game I would have never bought for myself.
Yeah.
So I'm going to keep it. She's like, okay. So right now it's the crown of my collection.
That's awesome. I do have to say, like, at the end of the day, collecting is fun. Like, I've got some great games from my childhood. I've got that weird stuff that I would never play otherwise, and it's like turned me on. Like, man, if I would have played this when I was 7 years old, this might have totally changed my life. But it's like having those games that you have the story behind.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's like it's the thrill of the hunt. At the end of the day, I'm a collector because it is fun to go out there and find stuff in the wild still, and like. Yeah, it's harder than it was 10 years ago.
Well, now,
but the stuff's still out there.
Yeah, there is a convention that we love to go to. It's Midwest Gaming Classic.
Oh, yeah. We love the Midwest Gaming Classic.
So this year, I'm going to use part of our tax return because we're not going to go to Gen Con this year.
Okay.
And so I'm probably going to drop about $1,000 or so, at least. And a surprise for Heather. Everybody watch Heather's expression. I'm going to tell her how much this collection is worth right now. Heather has no idea how much my collection is worth.
Via GameStop or?
No, via GameStop it's worth like a buck and a half.
Okay, that's it.
This collection, according to GameValueNow.com, my collection is valued at over
$2,000. Yeah, buddy.
So there might be a divorce waiting for me by the day after tomorrow.
But yeah, it's a, and again, it wasn't until, like, there's some years of that Midwest Gaming Classic. Last year I ended up dumping a lot of money. I'm cheap as fuck. But I found a lot of great deals last year at Midwest Gaming Classic, and I'm really excited to go back this year, hoping to find more deals. Because last year, I dropped way more money than I expected, because I was just like, on the hunt. Yep.
One of my more interesting, unique prizes
that
I got, complete inbox, was from Pack and Sack Dave's, Pack and Sack Games.com, I think it is. Either it's Pack and Sack Dave. They make reproduction homebrew cartridges.
Yeah.
This is Zelda Outlands. I got it with the manual. With the map, it's basically a totally reconstructed version of the first Zelda game. All the levels are different. The whole overmap is different. All the dungeons are different. The starting area is different. It takes place right after Zelda 2. It's a great sequel to the game, and I have it. And it took me a while to get it, but I finally got it with the manual and the map, and it's a prize. It really is.
There's some beautiful, beautiful homebrew games out there. We just had an interview with Mega Cat Studios, who does some really cool, clever stuff. Another one of my favorites Super Russian Roulette.
Oh, that's an awesome one. Yes.
That one is beautiful. I have that. It's on back order. It's about a 4-month wait. I've got that on order. I'm really looking forward to that. But yeah, seriously, the NES homebrew scene is truly beautiful.
No, I don't have burger time.
Yeah, it's just like all Karoos. Like, oh, hey.
I can pick and choose all my shit. It's not stuff that is just like Back to the Future and Karate Kid, okay? I mean, I've got a few good
times. But you do have Wrath of the Black Mantra, which is pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
So
I do have...
Wrath of the Black Mantra was a good version.
It was pretty good. I mean, I've got some stuff that is like, that's, you know, shit worthy. I got Super Glove Ball.
That's
going
to happen
to
everybody.
It's all right. Yeah, I've got Metal Gear. I've got Navino's Ambition. I've got Fester's Quest, of course. But I've got things like, I've got rare games, uncommon games like Palamedes and Power Blade, Shatterhand, Felix. I've got... there's Turtles Tournament Fighters. There's a Dragon Warrior 3. That was a nice find. I've got. I had a chance to pick up DuckTales 2, but I missed out on it. And he wanted $180 for it, and I probably should have bought it, but I didn't. I got Batman Returns. That's a good one. And where is it?
Of course. Do you own a Power Glove?
I do.
You own a Power Glove. All right.
I do own a. Well, see, I started watching some videos on it, and I started doing some research into, like, how it's designed, how the mechanisms work, and the electronics of it and all that stuff, and how it was a great concept. It was just very poorly implemented. They got this whole, like...
As a disappointed child, I totally know how that
sound
feels.
Sound radio frequencies that travel along your television that are set up by this monitoring system, and it's really bad. I picked it up. I thought it might work. I printed out a manual for it after I got it. I read the manual twice over so that way I could make sure I understand exactly how to set this thing up. I couldn't get the fucking thing to work at all.
Yeah, it's more of a fashion accessory.
It really is.
You can't dress up as a sexy gamer without a power glove. So.
Well, I'm thinking about doing cosplay as Captain N one of these years.
Oh, beautiful. That would be awesome.
Heather's got a high school red Leatherman's jacket, so I might borrow it. As best as a power glove can. I think the B button works.
After 12 hours of training,
actually about literally 3 hours of attempting to get this damn power glove to work, I couldn't get it to work at all.
Awesome. Well, again, this is an absolutely beautiful question. I'm really glad you brought it to share with us because I saw it in my eyes. We're just like, yes. I'm not used to seeing video games at this convention, and that's my sweet spot. So. Yeah. Thank you so much, Scott. Scott from Pick Up and Go Games brought his collection to show with us, and it's truly a gorgeous sight to see.
Oh, yeah. And I keep trying it up, and hopefully in the next few months after the next couple of conventions, I'd love to be able to have either a Flintstone Surprise at Dinosaur Peak or a Little Samson in my hands.
Awesome. Well, again, we will definitely, by the time Midwest Gaming Classic rolls around, hopefully we'll have an interview with you then. Again, thank you so much for being on and showing us your stuff.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. You'll need a bigger
Cheers,
suitcase
guys.
Next time.
Yeah!
Okay, so the Guys Games and Beer crew here were gifted a game called Witch Slap last night, and so we're giving it a try today. So we're just going to kind of walk through it. We did do one demo earlier. It's kind of a collecting matching game for some elements. There's a little bit of the spoons or slapjack element to it, and then there's some kind of card attacking elements to it. So you have different lives of your different witches. Everyone starts with the same one, and then we're just going to cast spells on each other, see what kind of horrible damage we can do to each other. Now, any other thoughts before we give it a try?
No.
Basically, the basic start is whoever's the dealer, and that'd be me, says go, and I'm going to look at the top card, see if I like it. If I don't, pass to the next person. Next person looks at whatever cards got served to them and decides which ones they want to keep. Not supposed to have more than 5 cards in your hand at a time. And as soon as you have a set of 4 or 5, you can grab the 4 or 5. Then if you have a set of 3, you can grab 3, and whoever's left over gets a 1. And then that will determine how powerful your spell is.
If you slap the wrong card and you don't have that number of cards, you will have to take that number of damage.
I believe you don't get witch slapped, you get bitch slapped. That is some damage to that, yeah, for sure.
Definitely have to be careful to not slap the card when you don't have enough points.
So, supposed to be super fast-paced. So I'm actually going to put down the mic, and I think it's going to, maybe we'll even unplug this mic. So it's probably going to get quieter. You won't maybe be able to hear us very well, but it's probably going to be better than a bunch of slapping. So, all right?
Yeah.
All right.
How's it going to go, Mr. Dealer?
All right, I need to kind of look at this a minute and go, all right, okay, all right.
So much for being fast-paced.
You know.
Remember when he was giving us a bunch of slack? Like, remember, oh, you guys are slow.
I'm taking it at Alora's pace.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, go. Oh, I'm doing it wrong.
Oh, okay.
All right. So, that's how that went. So now what we do is we choose the witch that we want to throw an evil spell on. And it will be, because I have the 4, mine's going to be a strength of 4s, Ryan's will be a 3, and Laura's will be a 1. And so, who do I want to...
And then you get the cards to choose the witch that you want to cast a spell against.
I cast a spell on you.
And now you're mine.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Not exactly sure how this is going to work, but we'll find out. Okay. All right, so everyone kind of puts down when they... And we get sort of a 1, 2, 3 reveal. Okay, just... I'll go through mine. Everything's considered to be resolving at the same time. So even though there's kind of an order to it, I mean, we could resolve Laura's, Forrest, or Ryan's, or mine. It really wouldn't matter. But because they all happen, they're regardless.
Yep. Even if they're dead.
So I'm going to go with the ice here. It's a 4, so it's a 2 damage to you. And it says freeze one of the target's witch cards. So... I'm not sure exactly what that means, but
is there a freeze in that deck?
That's what I'm thinking, and I think maybe freeze my witch, which would mean you probably can't attack me next turn.
But do you have to...
Oh, hey, we got to go to the rules here.
the link.
Do you have to do it on the same person?
Okay. If a witch freezes another witch's card, the target witch must hold on a spell card chosen by casting. The card is remained face up until the target witch until the end of the next round. This frozen card may be used. So that's what I'm thinking. So I would say like freeze me, right? So you next turn you couldn't attack me, right? I'm thinking that's what it means. Well, wait a minute, hold on. It wouldn't make sense though. Hold on. Okay, so if a witch freezes another witch's card, the target witch must hold onto a spell card chosen by the casting witch. This card is to remain face up front of the target until the end of the frozen. This frozen card may be used as part of the set if it matches the others in there. Oh, okay. All right. So like one of these is frozen.
Okay. So you have right. to have that one.
So it's for just it'll stay there for the next round.
So
but you don't get it for your three now. Now you're only down to two.
Okay.
So yeah. So you take two damages. This frozen. Right, and then now you're attacking me now at a two, which is
two damage.
So then I'll flip mine to a one also, and
then
you are also attacking me.
One damage.
So I'm down to six. Well, I could do it like that too.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. 3-2-1 contact. Oh.
All right. The witch with the lowest points is the one that's.
All right. Since you all attacked me, I'm gonna guess that that's gonna be me.
Sorry.
Is that the old sorry not sorry?
So me, my goal is I probably want to go.
You probably want players. Yes. 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 So you're gonna probably want fire. But I'm going to see them first, so I might just take them all so you can't have them. So.
It depends on what else he gets dealt, though, too.
I know.
I mean, if he gets dealt four...
Because if I get five right away, you're all going to be six damage to target.
Yeah.
Nice. Let's hope.
All right.
Oh, wait, I only get four cards, right?
Yeah, so just... Yep.
Now remember, take from the deck and...
Yeah, it's hard to remember that sometimes.
Yeah, it is hard.
All right. Okay. Go. So the thought would be that you probably don't have fire since I didn't see any.
I
would know 100% of them. Yeah, that's right. At least the ones
I
off
had
the
a
deck.
Bunch of fire but couldn't use them.
Ah, so she had them. That's why we didn't see it.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't going to give them up for him.
All right. He would have never got them.
Because
they all would have.
That's true.
You could have rolled it any way you want. Okay, so... I had a, let's go reveal.
Are you ready?
Boom.
Reveal.
Okay, you got a summons.
So I have four cards. I have two damage this round and two damage the next round to target which
okay.
Which is you.
Okay, let's
so
find
I guess
that
then
summon.
You get one of those cards that says two for next round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Split between two witches. You guys are the same. And you're gonna take damage next time. So two to you, one to you.
All right, and I do one to you as well, so.
All right.
So now you have four, so now you're dealing.
Oh!
somehow I just scraped the last place. I had the four.
I know. Well, it all happens at the same time, you know. But she's kind of like
I'm hiding lady in the
and lady in waiting for last place because she's taking two next turn no matter what.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly.
So it's okay to do the dealing the way you
did. Just grab
five
off the top.
I don't care.
Yeah, who cares? Yeah. You can do it however you want, Ryan.
In theory, you've shuffled the deck really well, so
it doesn't matter.
It's already randomized. So, what difference if you take five off the top, or one, 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 or classic euchre style, 3-3-3-2-2-2 Classic euchre style. Do you play euchre?
As soon as I see the cards, I can just be like, go. And that's what the developer sounded like.
Yeah.
He's playing, he's like, you may not even get a chance to
organize
your cards.
Yeah, there's no reason to wait for us to be ready.
Right. Oh, I almost did the wrong thing.
Alright, so I automatically take 2 damage, so I'll just do that right away so I can get rid of that card.
Doesn't matter which way I do this, but I find this cuter, so I'm going to do it that way. And, okay, actually I'm going to do it this way.
All right, you guys
it's not
ready?
Like I'm doing much, yeah.
Ready?
Alright. Oh, you get a twofer. Okay, alright.
I already took my 2 damage from last.
Yeah, time, so the summon. Yeah.
Four.
Yep.
I am doing 2 damage to 2 different witches, so you both take 2. And then I'm done.
Okay. Awesome.
One damage this round, 1 damage next round.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure. 1 damage next round.
Keep this and turn this in. And you get 1 damage, by the way.
So I'm down to 1.
You are, so you get to deal. Here you go. Alright, moment of truth.
Someone gonna die this round.
Maybe all of us.
I could see that happening a lot in this game where you get ties, you know, and because I'm for sure gonna be down to 2.
Yeah.
So it only takes a 2 hit. He's only gonna need a 1 hit. You need 4. So both of us are gonna gang up on you. You're gonna throw. And if it's one of those split ones, you could hit both of us and kill us both.
Right. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Gotta hold out for 5.
You can do that too.
What are you dealing like that? Oh no. Alright.
Go.
Oh, I'm making a mistake. I know what I should have done. Oh well.
Okay.
All right. Were you holding out for 5? Did you do that? No. All right. Now. That's actually a stupid one to have at this point. I don't need that card anymore. Another one way to go. Okay. Oh, this is my one. Yep. So that's back in and down. That's done. So I'm at two. Yeah.
Two damage to target.
It's two. And also two to you. All right, what's your one to me?
One.
Just one.
Oh.
So that's it.
No, you guys are tied right now.
We had four cards, so I don't know where to go. Because we both have one.
Yeah, you guys are still battling it out.
But who's the, all right, so we need just the four and the three. Yep, the one doesn't get played anymore. I don't know, and I don't need that witch anymore. And
good luck. Well, you guys are just gonna attack each other. Unless there's some defensive spell that you could do.
Yeah, but I don't think the counter does enough.
Well, the thing is,
I think it's just gonna end at a tie.
No, because he said whoever goes further negative. If I give you two damage, you only give me one. You have negative one. So
right.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear that part of it.
That was
okay.
The one last thing I mentioned before.
Oh, there is a total. If you get the four of the counter, it negates the spell targeted at you. Altogether.
But that just cancels each other out. And
well,
unless only one of you have a four counter.
Only one of us would have a four. So if one of us is going for the counter,
the counter.
What if I have the three
counter magic?
And I'm spell casting against you and you're countering it. We both just cancel each other out. Right?
No. No. Oh, I see what you. Because I'm not doing any damage.
Right.
You're not doing
we'll
any damage. Right. So the counter is useless at this point.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't do.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Unless.
All right. I guess we'll see how this.
There, you would have to get the five counter because it redirects.
Ooh.
So.
That's the only way to do a true win in this one.
Right? Yeah. Well, that would be. Yeah, that would be the only way to do it. Yep. You'd have to hold out for five, but I think in a two-player situation.
The first one who has,
normally
it's
going
to
be two damage versus one. Yeah. All right,
good luck, guys.
All right. Well, you know, just being different, just being cantankerous. All right, so.
Where's my card?
Well, I haven't decided if I'm giving you one of those.
I'm so nervous both of you. Go. You better hurry up, Ryan. Oh.
You found the true win.
Because you don't even have three.
I don't have three, so I'm not going to slap.
And then here's my four.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't expect that.
I didn't expect that either.
I think all right. The funny thing is, I think I got rid of like...
Enough of
a
them?
A bunch of yellows. Like, you kept throwing yellows.
Yeah, well, because they don't seem as useful at that point because everything is an after effect.
Else. Right.
Well, and if you already have two of something, it's like, oh, I'm just going to get the two. And,
but then you see, like, three of this other card go
by. Oh, yeah, well, that works pretty
guys,
well.
So
well.
That's Witch Slapped.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple but fun and fast-paced, and you, as you can see, you can play around pretty quickly. And that's that. So everyone go out and buy Witch Slapped.